to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here is Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we're back here high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And we have one of my all-time favorite people who I have so much respect for, Kathleen Beckman. And if you don't know Kathleen, well, listen in, because you're going to really be given a huge treat. She is the co-founder, president, and foundation of Prayer for Priests. She is a prayer warrior. She is an author, God's Healing Mercy, Praying for Priests, other books, and she is literally all over the world making a difference for Christ. Welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you, Deacon. Delighted to be with you.
And since we are talking about When Women Pray, her new book, which is incredibly exciting, and we'll talk a lot about how you can get a copy. Certainly going to her website certainly doesn't hurt any. We have two other women, my bride of 45 years, Marianne Greco. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Steve.
And Marianne works with me as one of the founders of Spirit-Filled Hearts, along with Katie Hughes, which is also one of our executives and is in charge of operations, is an evangelist. Welcome back to the show, Katie.
Thank you so much.
So I thought we'd have some women to chip in here about the impact of When Women Pray. And tell us, Kathleen, about yourself. And you have been really, I consider, an evangelist in such a huge way, in so many different ways, but someone who really got a calling to pray for priests, you know, and I want to start there, because certainly praying for vocations, incredibly important. But along with that, you know, just the fact that we are in spiritual warfare and we need to have prayer. And you have been heavily involved as it relates to the area of spiritual warfare for sure. And so you know all about that. But how did God call you to be just this prayer warrior for priests?
I have to credit Our Lady.
Amen.
Actually, Deacon Steve, I was really kind of going the way of the world in the beginning of our marriage and raising a family, a busy mom, and starting our business. My husband and I have a business. And so it was really, I'd put prayer aside for a time in my life. And I was lukewarm, I had, you know, one foot in the church and one foot in the world. And it was through a rosary prayer group and through Our Lady's Rosary and a trip to Lourdes that I really had a reversion, if you will. So it's very strong conversion. And then, as I share in the new book, When Women Pray, I had a very defining moment at the Pentecost events in Rome, when I met St. John Paul II, at the time the Pope, in 1998. And that really set my heart on fire, because it was the first time when I encountered him. And it's so important that we do encounter Christ in, you know, our priests. That's what we want. We all want to see Jesus in our priests. Right?
Amen.
You want to comment on that.
So. No, I mean, Jesus is the shepherd, you know, and that one time we were praying, we had our pastor had passed away. We were praying for a new pastor, and we got someone who, you know, very, very blessed to have gotten Father Tom Pato. But the Lord just kept saying, I am bringing you a shepherd, someone to really shepherd and tend the sheep, to shepherd over the flock. But they need help. They need prayer. They need our love.
Exactly. You know, we read in Exodus about Moses in the power of intercessory prayer, and in relationship to women praying for priests. That is, first of all, an initiative of the Vatican at the Congregation for Clergy, which I simply am trying to magnify in the Foundation of Prayer for Priests. But it's really at the heart of the church, because, you know, people are familiar with we're praying for this new Pentecost, but you know, there's been many saints and people with authentic prophecy who are saying the new Pentecost must begin with a priestly Pentecost. It must begin with the interior renewal of priests. And then we will usher in this new Pentecost, this time of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit really flowing, but it begins with them. And so, you know, inspired by other spiritual mothers in the history of the church, inspired by the Vatican, and then through Our Lady, again, at a retreat that I was on in the Holy Land. You've been to the Holy Land, I think, right?
Yeah, we're actually going on a pilgrimage September 24th to October 4th. So you can contact us at Marianne at SpiritfulHearts.org. She's my straight person here. But yeah, so we love the Holy Land. But you were continue on.
Well, I set that up for you. See, I didn't even, I didn't even know about that.
I just pounced all over it too.
Well, that's because we want to encourage. I want to say to the listeners, you know, I've been to the Holy Land three times. This last time was in 2013, and it was a private retreat, and we were locked inside of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. So I spent extended time by the Rock of Calvary, and also it be next to Calvary, you know, they have the icon of the Sorrowful Mother. Mm-hmm. And it was really there that I felt Our Lady was urging myself and Monsignor and some priests, because it was a team of priests and lay people that founded it, to do a Marian thing, and that's to magnify what the Congregation for Clergy. Sometimes when things come out of the Vatican, it's like the world's best kept secret. And so, you know, how do you implement it? They have this wonderful initiative, but then how does it spread, you know, on a practical level? And so that's how the prayer for priests really began.
We're with Kathleen Beckman, who is an author and co-founder of the Foundation of Prayer for Priests. She's also a host on Radio Maria, Eucharist, Mercy, and Saints, and is someone that I just respect tremendously. When women pray, things happen. You know, I can't say that enough. I grew up in an environment where I had a very strong mother who really led me to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And a grandmother that led me to the Blessed Mother through praying every single day, the rosary, and praying in church. I really believe that men have a very spiritual role as the head of families, and I really believe that. You know, I think Scripture says that. But and certainly men have to pray too, but somehow, some way, women have been given this special grace, I believe, and special blessing that when they pray, amazing things happen.
I really want to affirm the spiritual headship, if you will, of men. And but I really wanted to focus on this new book, When Women Pray. There's 10 other women voices in the book, and that was very much inspired by the parable of the 10 virgins. Five wise and five not so wise, five foolish, as they say in Scripture. And so it was during my Eucharistic adoration that I was reading and contemplating that Scripture of the 10 virgins. And it dawned on me, you know, that women, I thought there's a collective voice that I think, you know, in that that's inspired in that parable. But also, I wanted to not just have my voice on prayer. I really wanted to invite 10 other women, and I deliberately chose 10 of the most busy women in the church because I wanted to present to everyone that we may see these professors, Dr. Pia, Dr. Mary Healy, you know, Dr. Rhonda Shervin, their teaching, and other founders. These are very visible on television and media, but what makes us tick? What is the foundation? So you have this very public presentation and people are aware, but how do they pray? And so it really is about being contemplatives in action. And so you're right. Amazing things happen when women pray.
Marianne, you have been a leader of women groups and prayer groups for women. Right now you have two going to more, I know. Your thoughts on this and why is it so important? Why is this book so important? I know that this summer you're going to have this book as something that you share with at least two parishes and mm-hmm. lead them through this book. You know, I feel very strongly about that. But why is that so important?
Well, I think, you know, the sharing that goes on when in my Bible studies with the women is deep. Mm. You know, we're really interested in making it real and getting it into our everyday lives. How can we really live our faith in every aspect? And it's all tied together. So I think, you know, when we pray, it's an extension of that. It's so important to us to make it real and make it part of our daily lives.
I just think there's just special graces that are given through the Blessed Mother, mm-hmm. intercession, mm-hmm. and through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I think women are nurturing
yeah.
people
yeah.
by nature.
Mm-hmm. No, it's interesting. One of the things the Lord told me, you know, as the president and founder of Spirit-Filled Hearts, that to move the next level is that we have to have people praying literally 24 hours a day for the ministry, for us to fulfill what God wants us to do. And I started writing down names, and like 90% were women, you know, because women just are prayer warriors so often.
Well, you know, I thank God for that. Thank God for that. You know, I really wanted the book to focus on the fact that we all live busy lives. And so the witnesses in the books, really, you will see how busy everyone is. But there is a decision of the will and a priority in our lives to put God first and to take the time to pray. And so I agree with you. I think that prayer is foundational. It's foundational to every apostolate. It's the heart of the apostolate. And, you know, for authenticity, there has to be this foundation of prayer in our lives so that because the tug of the world is strong. And so like Marianne, you know, the groups that you have, you know, it really strengthens us when we come together. You know, God is a community, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy
yes.
Spirit. So when we walk in a group, like a women's group or the men's group or whatever it is, the group helps us to be the best we're called to be and to persevere in the way of prayer.
Amen. We're going to be right back to learn more about this incredible new book by Kathleen Beckman, When Women Prayer. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. Hello, everyone. It's Deacon Steve Greco. We're back here high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral in the Diocese of Orange. And we're with Kathleen Beckman, who is the co-founder, president of Foundation of Prayer for Priests, a radio host on Radio Maria, Eucharist, Mercy, and Saints, and also one of the great authors. And she has a great new book out called When Women Pray. And we were talking about in the earlier segment about the power of prayer. And when women pray, great things happen. And when you ask the Blessed Mother to intercede for you, one of the things I want to highlight is in Scripture, Mark 11, and it says in verse 23, Amen, I say to you, whoever says this mountain be lifted up and thrown in the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it shall be done for him. Therefore, I tell you that all that you ask for in prayer, believe you will receive it, and it will be yours. Part of the power of prayer, my brothers and sisters, is what we call expected faith. Do you have faith like the centurion? When you pray, do you believe that God is listening? Do you believe in Romans 8:28 that all things work for good for he or certainly she who loves the Lord is called according to his purpose? Do you believe in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that in all circumstances give thanks for this is the will for you in Christ Jesus? Do you believe in the power of prayer? And it's so important that you believe in that power and you believe that God is listening. And I know that that has been transforming for you personally, Kathleen, in your life. And it is like trying to drive a car and never stopping at a gas station. I mean, mm-hmm. we need fuel to be able to do our ministry. And prayer has been the foundation of your ministry, I know, and everything that you're doing. And you've learned how to pray throughout the day, but certainly every day, correct?
Yes. And I think, you know, I have to count it as a big grace, Deacon, when the Lord brought me to my knees. Sometimes he does that in difficult situations. And our family experienced a murder in our family. My father-in-law was brutally murdered. And it really taught me how to pray. We talked about this when we did the radio program on God's Healing Mercy, about the power of forgiveness. But it really brought me to my knees and brought me into a deep relationship with the Lord. And what I share in the new book, When Women Pray, is that I pray because I love God and I cherish our relationship. And, you know, in writing that in the book, I really wanted to bring it back to the foundational principle that our prayer is about a relationship with a person. And so often, as you know, in your ministries, people make Catholicism many things, but it really has to come down to relationship with a person, and then everything else makes sense. I mean, before I really had a prayer life, the rules and regulations of the church didn't make a lot of sense to me. But once you love the Lord and you're in relationship with Him, He'll cause you to understand and to love His bride, the church, and the law of love, which is not an easy law. So in this book, you know, I wanted to present many different viewpoints and ways to pray. But the point is, there's a lot of testimony in the book about the relationship that these 11 authors have with Jesus. And it's so clear to see that they pray from the heart because they love the Lord. And they've had some defining moment. Many of us, when we were brought to our knees through some cross that we suffered. But then there's these stories of out of the ashes, if you will, out of that pierced heart comes this resurrection and the apostolate and blessing and healing. So there's a lot there I want to say to your listeners that this book isn't meant to be like a prayer manual. It's not how to pray. It is really the story. The key word I say is when. So, you know, just show up for prayer.
Amen.
Right? Just
Amen.
Show up for prayer.
Whether you feel like it or not, right?
Right.
You know, I was just, I have a Norbertine spiritual director, and I was there this week. And one of the things he said, I said, you know, sometimes I'm praying because we're obviously trying to do at least a holy hour, if not beyond that, and normally try to do beyond that. But there are times where I feel like I'm just going through the motions, you mm-hmm. know. But one of the things he said to me is that it is the discipline in which there are days that you're going to feel, you know, more on fire and that exuberance with the Lord. And there are days when you feel dry. But don't back away. Don't stop. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm Ignatian trained. So we look at it this way. I mean, there's times of consolation. There's times of desolation. When you're yes. in consolation, you prepare for the desolation.
Yes.
And then when you're in desolation, you understand that the consolation will come. So definitely, I mean, thank God for our Norbertines and for your spiritual director.
Yes.
I mean, I think persevering through the desolation and the consolation. And as I say in the book, because the book really does talk about personal prayer, but in the end, I quoted Father Jacques Philippe about how, yes, you know, I said I pray because I love the Lord and I want to nurture our relationship, but beyond that, there's so much more to prayer. It's a duty. It's our duty to honor and to give thanks and to pray. It's a divine mandate. So it's beyond our feelings of, you know, loving the Lord or wanting to deepen that relationship. It's a holy duty and a privilege because it's the Holy Spirit that prays within us. And so just when you're surrendered to the Holy Spirit, He will pray in and through us.
And we know from John 15, the vine and the branches, that when we abide in Him, He will abide in you. When we remain in Him, He will remain in you. And to be part of the vine, essentially to be that branch that bears fruit, we have to be one with Him through prayer.
Right.
And Marianne, I know in your Bible studies, that's what you constantly focus on. And do you find that women sometimes struggle with the discipline of prayer, or your thoughts on this?
Oh, definitely. And I also see a lot of women come in and they never thought that they could go to the Lord in prayer over little things. There I say, oh, I can't bother Him with that. And I say, no, you know, the Lord wants to hear all of us, all of our little things and our big things. And so we need to take them all to Him. And it is relationship again. And so yeah, a lot of women don't realize that we can do that. We, you know, give it all to Jesus and talk with Him about all the little things, too. He loves to hear that.
I love that you bring that up, Marianne, because one of my chapters in the book is by Joan Lewis. you know, Joan's Rome, EWTN, you know, mm-hmm. Joan's
mm-hmm.
Rome.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
mm-hmm.
Joan says, you know, she said that, you know, she lives in Rome, and she has for a number of years, so she covers everything that's happening at the Vatican, and she had occasion to be with St. John Paul II during prayer, private masses in his chapel and over the years when he was there, and she said that it dawned on her, one day she was saying to the Lord, when she would see him, like when she came into the chapel at the Vatican, he was already in deep prayer. And it was very obvious that he was in union with the Lord. And she realized that she can't pray like that. And she said, and she really felt that the Lord was saying, Joan, just pray as Joan prays. You know, I don't expect you to pray as Pope John Paul II. Pray as Joan prays. So she said, you know, her gift is like of prayer is, throughout the day, Lord, thank you for the gift of this beautiful sunshine, you know, this beautiful Vatican, you know, for the bus that's late, she'll pray on that. So she said, I'm constantly praying for all these little things along the way. Well, that really speaks of a constant union. Mm-hmm. Her heart is always lifted up in prayer, but it's all the little things that's bringing her in that communion with God.
And I like the fact you said, too, is we all have different styles of prayer and personalities in our prayer. So we have to accept and embrace what we are and go with it.
Yeah. She had to let go. I mean, we all would love to be that great mystic like St. John Paul, too. But in her chapter just brings out the practicality of praying by the little things.
Find a holy place somewhere, a garden, somewhere in the house, a picture, obviously adoration. And I know, speaking of spiritual exercises, I'm going through it right now. I'm about my 6 months, and I know you went through it, Katie. And you know, when you're disciplined in prayer, it makes a big difference, Katie.
It does, and you feel it when you're not. One thing I remember from the spiritual exercises was when you're struggling in your prayer and you do it anyways out of obedience, it's really powerful because then you're really loving God. Because maybe you're not on fire, maybe you're not excited, but you're doing it out of love for God, and he's asking you to do that, and there's a reason for it. And so great things can come out of that struggle that you go through. And so I think it's great to persevere. You know, you talked about that before, and with adoration, just being in his presence. I think the hardest thing about that is just being and not thinking, what is God trying to tell me? Just being empty.
And so many times what happens is people talk about distractions and, oh, I can't do it because I'm distracted all the time. But that is part of the discipline. You know, one of the things is we look at Scripture again and we look at Hebrews 10:36. It says you need endurance to do the will of God and receive what he has promised. That endurance comes through prayer. And it comes through discipline. And I often get asked, I know, I imagine, Kathleen, you do too, when people say, how do you get those distractions out of the way?
I pray them. I turn the distraction into a prayer.
That's great.
And you know what? It really is effective, because whatever's distracting me, then I turn it into a prayer, an intercessory prayer. And a lot of times, you know, the evil one comes in and he's the one that's trying to distract us, along with our own emotions and thoughts. And it's so human. And so just turn it into a prayer. And that way you're lifting up your heart. I learned that from Thérèse of Lisieux, you know, not to be upset, just to be little. And so turn it over. But, you know, I think through faithfulness, I learned this from my first spiritual director when he said, after daily mass, why don't you try to make a daily holy hour? And he said, now, come hell or high water, no matter how distracted you are, how that 60 minutes will seem like a day in the beginning, just keep showing up, and you'll learn to be recollected before the Lord. And that's very true.
Great advice from Kathleen Beckman, who is the author of When Women Pray. We're going to find out more about this book right after the break. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco here on Empowered by the Spirit, beautiful Christ Cathedral. And we're so blessed to have back on the show Kathleen Beckman, who has recently written another book, God's Healing Mercy. and she is the co-founder, president, and foundation of Prayer for Priests. And she has, this book is just so on fire with 11 different women who are sharing their faith and the power of prayer and how it transforms you. And one particular woman is one that Katie Hughes, who is also our guest on the show with Marianne Greco, you were just with, Rhonda Sherwin. And this is The Sigh of the Heart. And tell us about your experience with Rhonda.
Well, Rhonda, I had met, the instant I met her and was in her presence, I felt the joy of the Lord, the excitement for the Lord. This weekend, she's turning 80 years old, and I just met her for Easter. And she is the most excited person I've met, who loves the Lord and loves talking about Jesus, who is spontaneous and loves to chat and listen to anyone, and she loves to talk. But it was a real joy to spend Easter with her and pray with her. My father and I prayed over her and on Easter Day.
Beautiful.
In her chapel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, beautiful. Yeah. And tell us, Kathleen, about the Sigh of the Heart chapter that she wrote.
Well, I would like to just share with our listeners the first couple paragraphs, because I think this really exemplifies Rhonda Sherwin, and it's so unique in the book. I was brought up in New York City by atheist parents who met in the Communist Party, became disaffected, and then became informers of Senator Joseph McCarthy. God was no more real to us than elves might have been to most of you. My first prayer was suggested to me by my godfather to be, a professor at Fordham University. I was studying Catholic philosophy in a frantic attempt to find some truth that would keep me from despair. "Why don't you kneel and say the skeptic's prayer?" Dr. Schwartz suggested to me one day. "Huh? What's that?" "God, if there is a God, save my soul if I have a soul."
Amen.
This is the skeptic's prayer.
Amen.
So this
yeah.
is really a great. Rhonda, I love what I remember, you know, when I invited these women to participate in the book, I gave them a year because they're all so busy, leaders of their own ministries and everything. Rhonda's, I got like in a week. She was done in a week. And so I really appreciated that about her. She's very filled with the Holy Spirit. She writes prolifically as she can speak and share. Mm-hmm. She loves the Lord. So it's a great chapter. What I like about Rhonda's is that Rhonda has taught us through this chapter. She teaches us from the perspective of being a college student, okay, then a married woman, and then a widow. In her chapter, she shares about how her husband died, her son committed suicide. Hmm. So she has gone through a lot. Then she's living this part of her life as a consecrated widow, and she talks about what the church is doing for these many women who are widowed and want to really live as consecrated. So her chapter is packed full, and it really speaks to us how, and I share this in the beginning of the book, and maybe you relate to the women in your group, Marianne, that we have a vocation. But we have many missions in the vocation, according to, like, she had a mission in the college. She had a mission as a professor. Then she was married and a mom, and now she's a widow, and she has a mission, you know, in each different part of her life. I'm sure yeah. you see that in the women that you...
Oh, definitely. We go through different stages, mm-hmm. and we have to kind of rediscover ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And some of that is obviously ministry and being a wife, being a mother, mm-hmm. but also the ministry. And, you know, my brothers and sisters, what really brings to mind is Matthew 25 and the three parables, but the parable of the talents. You know, whether you're a man or a woman, what is the talent or talents that God has given you, and how can you manifest that? Well, the foundation of manifesting and really living out your calling, your purpose on life, is get in prayer and a oneness, a unification with the Lord by prayer, in which the Lord and through the Holy Spirit will come to you and just give you that nudge, you know. And I think that's a huge part of what prayer is all about. So many different great authors here. There's a chapter, Prayer with Sisters in Christ, by Dr. Pia. Tell us about that.
Dr. Pia, she's near and dear to those of us in the Orange Diocese.
Yes.
Works very closely with our bishop, Kevin Vann. She gives a beautiful witness to how this wasn't what she was going to write for her chapter. Hers was the last chapter to come in. She took the whole. That's because Pia is so busy. And she came in the same day as Dr. Mary Healy, so I was delighted, right in time for publication. But she talks about how she had a prayer intention of a person in need. And she, through social media, put it out there that this person was in need. And in her chapter, she said she was touched by the response that women came out and provided spiritually and even monetarily and even materially for this prayer intention. And that's what she ended up writing about, that prayer, you know, even just putting our prayer intentions out and the way women have a gift for rallying around a prayer petition and how they rose to the occasion, it very much touched her. And I think it's a very unique perspective on prayer, what she brought out. That's why I'm so happy. This is like a bouquet of flowers, this book, with 11 different authors in there, because you see different perspectives of how prayer is permeating their lives and the fruitfulness of prayer.
But like anything else, and Marianne, I'll throw this over to you, it takes practice, it takes perseverance, and it takes someone that doesn't get discouraged. In other words, there are times when people say, oh, my prayer life's so dry or whatever. But we talked about this before. It is that discipline, but it just takes practice. The more that you do it, the more it becomes real to you and alive to you, and where you just feel the joy of the Lord. You know,
well, it's staying in relationship with the Lord. It's the more you do it, you're in relationship. Because even if you don't feel like it, do it to keep that relationship going with the Lord. I think that's the key, in realizing that our faith and our journey in life should never be stagnant, that we should always be moving and listening to the Lord and changing. So we have to stay in relationship and keep it alive, keep it real. And so sometimes it's difficult, but keep going.
This is Deacon Steve Greco with Kathleen Beckman, who has recently written a book, When Women Pray. And how can people get this book, Kathleen?
Well, it's available. First, they can go to kathleenbeckman.com. I don't sell the books, but it will link to my publisher, sophiainstitutepress.com, amazon.com, and your local Catholic bookstore.
Wonderful. And we strongly recommend that you get the book. It is transforming. And we need guidance. We need help. And we need inspiration.
We need courage and encouragement is
yes.
What I put in the preface. We need courage and encouragement in prayer. And this is really to encourage people. So when you read all the circumstances of 11 different women leaders in the church, you say, wow, you know, they've gone through all of that and their foundation is prayer. And there's many unique ways to pray.
This sounds like a book that would be really good for some women to get together over coffee, read and gather once a week and share their thoughts.
You know what? And we designed it that way because women like to do that. These small groups are so fruitful. So at the end of each chapter, there's a part that's called a ponder, practice, pray. So there's five questions each author came up with or reflections. And then after that, there's a wisdom from the woman saint, feminine wisdom, we call it. And a woman saint gives you something on prayer. So there's something people can dialogue, study. It's all there for you.
Perfect. And Marianne, you have started a number of women's groups, Bible studies, sharing groups, and so forth. And since we're on so many stations right now, 50 altogether, it's so important that people, whatever city you're in and you're listening in, let the Holy Spirit lead you. And how do you get a group together, Marianne?
You know, you buy the book and you say to one or two friends, you know, let's just get together and read a chapter this week and get together. And you'll be surprised it grows. I've started them during the summer, and it will attract some people who maybe are teachers who have time, you know, during the summer or something. But you pick a time and then just consistently meet and keep inviting people. And you'll be surprised. We've had people's lives change just from book discussions.
Yeah, just to invite.
Just be led and being part of so many small groups. And,
mm-hmm.
and so much
so powerful.
Of this is about that whole small church mentality.
Right.
Get together a group of people and let the Holy Spirit lead you, because the Holy Spirit leads you to Jesus and leads you to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and leads you to that power and leads you to a deeper faith. And so many times that comes through each other. Mm-hmm. Someone will say something and it'll be Jesus talking directly to you.
And don't be afraid of it. Sometimes we think we know who we should invite, but the Holy Spirit has maybe different people. So kind of invite people you wouldn't expect to invite, too.
Yes, I think that's a great idea.
So
absolutely.
My brothers and sisters that are listening in, and my sisters in particular here, God is calling you to start a small group. Get this book. It's an amazing book of testimonials, in a sense, mm-hmm. of 11 different women. And go through the book and learn how to pray even more. When you learn how to pray, great things happen. Miracles happen. And let the Blessed Mother in. You have such a deep devotion to the Blessed Mother. Tell us about that, Kathleen.
Well, she really brought me back to prayer. You know, I was wandering on my own way, and I was always Marian as I grew up as a child. But then after marriage, I, you know, was just very lukewarm, got busy about many things as a young mother and business owner and work and everything. But Our Lady, through an invite, Marian, you talked about an invite, a woman at school, a fellow mom of a student in my son's class, kept inviting me to a rosary prayer group. And she was so persistent, and I couldn't escape her because we dropped our kids off every morning.
Right.
At the same, and she was always there. I learned how to pray the rosary again. Then we all went to Lourdes. And so Our Lady has very much kind of lassoed me in and brought me closer to the Lord Jesus. Yeah.
This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back to talk more about When Women Pray by Kathleen Beckman. Welcome back, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Kathleen Beckman, who has recently written a book, When Women Pray, and she is co-founder and president of the Foundation of Prayer for Priests. We're so thrilled to have Kathleen on our show, along with Marianne Greco and Katie Hughes. And we've been talking about this book now this entire show and how important it is to form small groups of women who could really enjoy this book. But of course, as a man, I have to say, there's no question I'm going to have gotten and will get even more as I continue to read through this book. So whether you're a man or a woman, this book is valuable for sure.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. It's true, because the bishop of the Diocese of Orange chose this as a book selection. So he asked Pia and I, well, will men receive anything out of it? And so even on the Orange County Catholic Book Club, we talk about how, you know, there's things in here that the men will. There's a lot of wisdom in here from saints on prayer. And so certainly I think a man can learn a lot. And
that's
yeah.
for sure. And,
yeah.
from a as I like to say, we're all in the biggest room, the room for improvement. Yeah. Do I have a lot
that's
to
right.
learn, honey?
Yeah. Well, we're just working on it.
Yeah, yeah. You may not realize this, Kathleen. I wear a sign at home that says under construction. So
you know, I love it.
So it's like, be patient with me. I'm under construction.
But you're very open. A lot of times I'll find a book that the Lord's led me to, and I'll say, I think you need to read this. And he does.
Yeah. And I definitely, this is one book that I would say needs to be on every bookshelf. Again, go to KathleenBeckman.com, Amazon, or Sophia Press in order to obtain a copy for yourself or your local Christian bookstore. Now, one chapter you had mentioned to me that you particularly want to highlight is My Ear to His Heart by Vicki Thorne.
Yes. For the listeners, Vicki Thorne is well known in the Catholic world for the being the founders of Project Rachel, which is a post-abortive healing ministry that is in well over 100 dioceses in the United States and international as well. So Project Rachel was something that she talks about it, how it really impacted her prayer life when a friend of a friend, I think, had an abortion. And in trying to help her afterward, she realized that there was a real need for women to undergo healing and to learn about the power of forgiveness and to have help with a distortion that happens on the woman's identity after an abortion and the whole trauma of the whole thing. And so Vicki talks about it. But, you know, one of my I'll read part of it, Deacon, because it's so inspiring. She says, during the early years of my married life, through the unfolding of the following events, I learned that I was in charge of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
a good lesson for all of us. My husband's father died. Most of my aunts and uncles died. I experienced miscarriages. Each of our first three children had life-threatening illnesses, and close friends experienced a divorce. And on the day of the divorce was final, the husband was killed in a motorcycle accident, leaving my dearest friend with two small sons, a farm and a factory. We left behind family and friends in Minnesota for my job, my husband to take a job in Milwaukee, and then we moved to Rome. So she talks about her time in Rome. You can imagine, I mean, moving the whole family to Rome, and there's many miracles that Vicki talks about, and how she discovered relationship with saints who helped her to pray when she was in Rome, because there she was in this beautiful historical city, and she began to go to these different parishes, churches, and discover the different saints that were, you know, each church in Rome was. And then how she accidentally, providentially founded this Project Rachel through, like I said, a friend that needed help, and how she talks about the prayer of catharsis, coming before the Lord as you are, and just as she recommended, it was funny. She said, I recommend praying this in your car when you're alone, and just really, you know, letting the Lord know where you're at and getting it out of you. And I think that she learned so many lessons from helping women who are post-abortive.
And that is such a huge need, you know, in terms of the level of abortions or number of abortions in the Catholic community, Catholics. It's not much different than non-Catholics, unfortunately.
Right.
And so in any given parish, in those pews are women who have gone through an abortion, and perhaps they just haven't forgiven themselves yet at some level.
That's right.
And it's so important that they learn prayer, that they learn forgiveness, that they learn God's mercy. And, you know, we're recording this actually on Divine Mercy Sunday, so I'm going to throw that in here for a quick second. Because that is also an incredibly important part of prayer, isn't it? Is to do the Divine Mercy Chaplet on a regular basis and to open your heart to Divine Mercy. Your thoughts on that, Kelly?
Oh, absolutely, Deacon. I'm very glad that you bring that up, because it really fits in with the chapter, especially Vicki Thorne's chapter, the founders of Project Rachel. We need to be really full of hope and a certitude of God's mercy, which is what he tells Saint Faustina. And, you know, in the book, at the end of each chapter, there's feminine wisdom from the saints. And so it helps us to remember that, you know, we have this loving, forgiving God. And so often we are more hard on ourselves and unable to forgive ourselves and not trusting in the mercy of God. So we definitely need to grow in that level of trust.
It's interesting to me, Katie, and Katie Hughes is leading a Divine Mercy prayer group at our church, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, in Irvine, California. And there are a lot of women in the group, you know, I think there's very few men, but it's certainly for men and women. But why is Divine Mercy so important as part of our prayer life, whether it be a man or a woman, but certainly many, many women are adapting the Divine Mercy Chaplet? Why is it so important?
It transcends to everyone, wherever you're at. The most, you know, a lot of the women that come, they have family that don't go to church anymore, especially children that don't practice. The grandchildren aren't baptized. So there's lots of hurts and wounds. And that the divine mercy, that God overcomes all of that. And it's so beautiful that it happens the octave of Easter, because it's the fulfillment of God's mercy, his the salvation he's given us. And then to have this special day where there's the novenas that you can do prior to it, it's a very special day, and it's so wonderful that we can totally be wiped clean in this unique way. And it's his love. That's all it is God's love complete.
I just can't even imagine not saying Divine Mercy, praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet on a daily basis, or not praying a rosary on a daily basis. Those things are really foundational. But prayer is something that changes everything. And Marianne, for all the women out there that are listening in, and we're talking about forming small women groups, why is it so critical for women to get together in general?
Well, I think we need each other. It's the community. We support each other. We have that collective process of praying and taking care of each other. So, you know, I just really encourage women out there to just, if even if you start with one other friend, to start the group. And let the Lord lead you. It's such an easy thing to do, but the power of women coming together and praying and talking about their God and their relationship with their God, it's just, you'll see your life change.
And the reality, and we'll just speak reality, I have to choose my words very carefully here, but women communicate, let's say, slightly differently at times than men. Mm-hmm. And the way women express themselves, the way women communicate, it's important that they really understand each other. You know, I lead men's groups, and with men, it's like, how's things going? Oh, fantastic. Never been better. My kids are Nobel Prize winners. You know, my wife's never been, you know, she's the greatest thing and everything, the job. Oh, couldn't be more perfect, you know, and they're dying inside, right? They're strength, but they'll never admit it, you know, and
most women will tell you how it
whether
you want to hear it or not,
they'll tell you about it
over and over.
But it's just so important again. I'm not saying that mixed groups are not also important. They are. But having women come together, very, very important. And certainly having men come together, also very important. But Marianne, as a leader of women's groups, Bible studies and sharing groups, how would you recommend, again, being an independent person here, since Kathleen wrote the book, why would you recommend this, When Women Pray?
Well, I think it has all the qualities in it that make it very easy to pick up and just start reading. You know, you pick one chapter, one person a week. I like to take the time and really digest it with the women and talk about it. And all you have to do is read it and show up.
It's just perfect. And at the end of each chapter, again, there's all these questions for small groups. And so don't be afraid to start a small group. Don't be afraid. There's a reason you're listening in, and we're just so thrilled, Kathleen, to have you on the show. Thank you again for being on Empowered by the Spirit.
It's a joy. Thank you for your ministry, too.
And thank you for yours. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We thank you and praise you for the gift of prayer. We thank you and praise you for all the miracles that you give us. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle in us the fire of your love, that we want to serve you, that we want to minister to your people, that we want to be one with you in prayer and communion. Open up our ears, eyes, and heart to receive what you have in store for us. Bless the women out there as they intercede, as they pray and praise on all the women's groups, and bless all the men that they learn how to be spiritual heads of the family. We say this and bless all the children and grandchildren and all the families. We say this for the power of your love, the power of your Holy Spirit, the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe, the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, and I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless you all.
Amen.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.